Hello, everybody. This is Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 121A. And we, even though it looks like it says here 120C, I just want to show you something before we get into today's material. We are dealing with a major diagram for the science of triangles. There is an emanating energy center, which is the dynamic expression of cyclic purpose, and it has positive qualified outgoing ray energy. And this applies to whether it's planetary, systemic, zodiacal, or cosmic energy. And it is the basic of hylozoistic, that is, living expression. I think I may have put the... Possibly I put the word living in there myself. I'm not sure. Let's see. 460? Maybe not. No, that is the Tibetan's statement, living. Then there is a receptive, see, and we can see these below, can't we? There is a receptive force center. It's an evocative expression of the initial impelling energy. Here's the emanating energy, and here's the evocative center. It's a synthesis of the two forces, the emanating and the receptive, the emanating and the evocative. It's a qualified conditioning secondary energy, and it is an energy which motivates, just as love and desire motivate. It's a motivating blended energy, neither positive nor negative, and thus related to the neutral type of electricity, not electric fire, but rather solar fire. And then there is a responsive point of negative energy, and that's over here. It's a major center, completing the grounding of the emanating energy. It's responsive mainly to the second point of the triangle. And it's the source of the violent interplay between the two points on the baseline. At least I think this is the way it is. We have the triangle itself and then the center, whether it's the earth or the personality or some physical form, to which the energy of the triangle is distributed. And here, you know, this is an even bigger, maybe it's not necessary, diagram. We'll see how we can switch back and forth between them. I think I'll try to make this even a little bit smaller so that it can all get on one page at the same time. It seems to be able to do it now. So we will talk about the distributing center can be a solar system. Let's see. Let's get this correct. Can be a solar system in the macrocosmic sense, regarded as a cosmic center. Centers or chakras are the distributing centers. Man is even, in a way, a kind of chakra within an ashramic structure. The distributing center can be a solar system regarded as a cosmic center, a planet which is a systemic center. One of the planetary centers above referred to, which could be hierarchy, Shambhala, or humanity, or one of the five outlets, one of the planetary centers above referred to, a nation or an individual, or one of the centers in the human body. All of these condensations can be considered as distributing centers. A close study of these energy streams will demonstrate two major movements, a downflow of energy from an emanating center. And here it is, a downflow of energy from an emanating center. Let's see if I can get this center just a little more. Okay. This leads to, number one, its merging with the energy of the center of reception and its consequent qualification. The second ray center is the qualificatory center, and one of the seven major qualities will characterize it. And when we have the emanating center, we think of pure being, which has no quality per se. At least the very essence of being has no quality. It is exactly what it is, and then is divided as the white light of a prism is into seven different streams, or in the terms of sound, into seven different notes. In a way, that's quite arbitrary. You can make a scale out of 12 notes or even 28 notes. But for some reason, the idea of a major seven leading to the octave seems structurally accurate with respect to our solar system and our planet. And so the scale has been divided into seven. So it is emerging with the energy of a center of reception and its consequent qualification. The pure being is given a coloring of one of the seven qualities. And I'll just write that down. Pure being, that's not it. No, that's not it either. Pure being is given a quality of one of the, is given one of the seven qualities. In itself, it has no quality per se. Now, when it is said that the monad has a ray, the pure essence of the monad, which is pure being, is qualified as well by the form through which it operates on the monadic plane. What we call the monad is a blend of pure essence plus a vehicle pertaining to a particular plane on which that pure essence is focused. So our monadic ray has more to do with the Temple of Ezekiel and its particular coloring than it does with the pure essence of the monad. Pure being is itself alone, and the only thing that is, and it is undivided in its essence. So the heart of every life and the heart of every being is pure being, unqualified. It is, from the poem, the statement is made, life like a dome of many-colored glass stains the white radiance of eternity. And the white radiance of eternity in this case is pure being, and the stain or the coloring are the seven qualities. So there's a downflow of energy from the emanating center, and it merges with the energy of the center of reception and becomes qualified. Its transmission to and its evocative effect upon a second point or focal point of reception. So this is the receiver, and then we have the responder, which is in the third position. Its transmission to and its evocative effect, just the way Shambhala evokes hierarchy, upon a second point or focal point of reception. That's what we're talking about, and we consider that to be on the left as we're looking at this triangle. Note this leaves one side of the triangle as yet uncompleted. and it will not be completed until later. The three types of energy, or rather one energy and two forces, the force of the receptive center and the force of the responsive center, proceed then with the following activities. There is the evocative energy of a energizing of a secondary triangle. The arrow moves in this manner. It moves from the evocative center to the responsive magnetic center. So this is the, how is it put, receptive center, the evocative receptive center. That force moves to the responsive magnetic center. Receptive and responsive are the two terms, one applying to the evocative center, which has the evocative force, and the other to the magnetic center. And I think what I'll do here is make this, get rid of that page break. So there's an evocative energizing of a secondary triangle, and it's done in this manner. Now, the human being on the physical plane can be considered microcosmically this distributing center, which again begins to aspire towards the evocative center, which responds and sends the energy to the personality and becomes, in a sense, a soul-infused personality, which then rises via the antikarana toward the emanating energy or monad. That is the ABC of it. So it proceeds with the following activities: evocative energy of energizing of a secondary triangle, pouring down one side of this reflected triangle into the evoked expression on the physical plane. Let's just keep it microcosmic for a moment. The body has been evoked. And this magnetic center might be considered, in a way, the mental permanent atom as the center of the personality, and also the point from which the antikarana is built. And it pours down this right side of the triangle. Pours down one side of this reflected triangle, and let's call it from the diagram. This appears to be the right side, producing manifestation, quality, and activity. So we have the energizing of the permanent atoms, which evoke a physical form. The permanent atoms are, in a way, within the evocative center, microcosmically, within the receptive center, but they are the generators of the personality vehicles. And finally, we have the creation through that structure of the distributing center, which continues to receive this downflow, although it probably doesn't realize that it comes from the emanating center. So there is a form created. It has a certain quality from the evocative center, the receptive center, and from the quality of the vehicles. The activity is connected with the magnetic center particularly. And this forms a reservoir of descending and balancing energies. Some light on this most abstruse subject. Now, this reservoir, I suppose, is in the distributing center. It is the receiver of all that the upper triangle has generated. And in that triangle is both the soul, which contains the permanent atoms, And the various permanent atoms, especially the mental permanent atom, mental unit, and the actual physical form. Some light on this most abstruse subject can be gained if the student will attempt to realize that the above diagram and subsequent statement describes his own involutionary and evolutionary process. How a form was created from above in the early days of evolution, so it can have an application to the appearance of man, but it can also have a microcosmic incarnational meaning and relate to every single life. Not always will there be the kind of return invocation that are indicated by the arrows here, because at this point, invocation is occurring. The calling upon the energy of the soul, which then infuses the center of the personality, the various members of the atomic triangle, and then this becomes a soul-infused center, which can invoke the monad via the antikarana. It depicts the interplay of his monadic life, soul energy, and personality force. That's what I've been saying. As these three focus on the physical plane, producing manifestation and appearance. So this magnetic center is to be considered the personality per se, and this the lowest vehicle of the personality, the dense physical vehicle. We could do this with a planet, with a sun, with a constellation, with any being. This particular diamond that we see would have its significance. It all begins from the center of life, which evokes a center on the higher mental plane, or perhaps on the higher mental cosmic plane, cosmic higher mental plane, which creates a kind of center from which a personality is generated. At least this is the generation of the interior aspect of the personality, this magnetic center, which part of which is the production of a dense physical vehicle. And then the return, well, it's not just a dense physical vehicle, just the way the soul, see this arrow here across the middle. In the beginning of the process, the arrow crosses to the magnetic center, and the magnetic center sends the force downward, creating the intelligent, eventually intelligent personality, or the personality which has consciousness and which grounds itself in a physical vehicle. But that grounded consciousness seeks to return, and then again, it's not up to the soul to send the energy back to the emanating center. The arrow goes across to the magnetic center, and this time, instead of sending the energy and consciousness downward to create a personality on the dense physical plane, rather we have this type of invocation which moves towards the spiritual triad and eventually towards the monad, and is in a way the return, the return of the originating impulse, until we have the fully conscious monad, which contains life experience and enhanced consciousness from the lower realms. So the only direction that is repeated here is the horizontal line, which twice moves to the magnetic center with different results. The first result creates the dense physical vehicle, which contains the lower principles, and the second crossing of that horizontal line, the baseline, creates a relationship between a soul-infused personality and the original emanating center. So he calls this abstruse, and we have to, in a way, figure it out. We have to see how it would relate to every type of being, but I say if we keep it microcosmic for a little while, in relation to the human being, it's liable to be a little more comprehensible. So number two is a return flow of this qualified energy to its emanating source or highest point of the major triangle. There is an upreaching towards the soul. The soul, responding to that aspiration, infuses the area around the mental unit and the various permanent atoms with enough of its presence and will to create a point of intention, which can be the basis of the building of the bridge of return, the Antikorana. It is, in a way, you know, this magnetic point represents the sun sign. The evocative force, the receptive center, represents the ascendant, and the emanating energy represents the point opposite the sun sign or the monadic point. We oftentimes begin interpreting horoscopes as if we work from the sun sign, but for initiates and for those who can possibly receive monadic energy, it almost seems that we should begin to work in any one life from the point opposite the sun sign. That would give the monad authority and sway over what transpires below. So we have a downflow and we have a return flow. And this returning flow, the return of this qualified energy, which has been qualified by the qualities of the receptive center, soul center, evocative force, and qualified also by experience with the rays of the lower vehicles. So there's a return to the emanating source, and this produces the completion of the two triangles, the real and the unreal. Well, I think there's no question about which is which. The upper triangle is definitely the real. The lower triangle is but a reflection. The building of the Antikorana is an aspect of this completion. Maybe not the entire aspect. Seems to me there will always be somehow a Sutratma involved. The Sutratma will perhaps work at first through the soul, which makes it possible for the magnetic center and the dense physical to exist. But I don't think that in this attempt to return to the monad, there is any sense that the Sutratma has to be generated. It's more the consciousness thread and then used creatively. The Sutratma is always there connecting all factors of the man. Okay. This concerns the final building of the later stages of the Antikorana by the initiate. And we could even be including here the probationary initiate, mostly around the time of the second degree. Not really possible to do much before that time. So the going on, the transmission of force from the reflected or secondary triangle in the three worlds of human endeavor, or in the five worlds in the case of the evolution of the members of the hierarchy, is into the, yes, because the hierarchy is evolving within the spiritual triad as well. So the five submonadic planes are the ones that are concerned with their particular evolution. As I say, we can continue to take this double triangle or diamond and apply it to ever higher beings, is into the same focal point on the baseline of the higher triangle, which received the original emanating energy. But that point is now, let's call it, that magnetic point is now upward looking. Now, there are consequently two points of major importance in the higher triangle. The emanating point of positive conditioning energy, which in the microcosmic sense we would consider this monadic in the microcosmic sense, and the point which receives into itself both the higher energy and the lower forces. If we look here, here the higher energy is received directly, and here, once there is established a personality with its a qualified personality that seeks return on the reversal of the wheel, this is kind of a reversal of the wheel here as it goes up towards the soul, it sends its qualified energy into that same receptive, evocative center. So the point which receives it, so there are two points of major importance, he tells us, two points of major importance in the higher triangle. I think looks like he's going to omit the magnetic point. The emanating point of positive energy, conditioning energy, and the point which receives into itself both the higher energy and the lower forces, as we have just seen. This point receives the higher... Well, where is that cursor? There it is. It receives the higher emanating energy, and it receives the return of the aspiring personality forces. This is the second point of importance in the higher triangle. This point is called the soul aspect of the triangle and is always the registering agent of consciousness. It is, even the emanating point has consciousness. All points have consciousness, but the particular function of this central point is registration, just as the hierarchy is doing today, both of that which is above and that which is below. They are increasingly receiving and registering Shambhala, consciously so, and ever more sensitive to the human race in its personality nature below. It is therefore the producer of crises, because the point where several energies meet is the source of crisis in the outer life, because decision must be made concerning the right use of these various energies. Now, we could say, you know, that what is being received here at the magnetic center, but both times it is an aspect of the evocative force, once immediately following the impact of the emanating energy and once immediately following the rising of the personality forces to the receptive point. This is the Janus point. In a way, it looks in two directions simultaneously. One can say this somewhat of the magnetic center as well, but there's a total reorientation of this magnetic center with the building of the Antikarana. So the point where several energies meet is the source of crisis, how to sort out the direction, because there is a contending with regard to direction when several points cross. These crises are crises of initiation, and this is true of men as individuals, of nations, and of humanity as a whole. Now, what this reminds us of, with this central receptive, evocative center, is that initiation is taken within the causal body, and is not taken, actually, within the lower vehicles. So the crises of initiation are enacted within the vehicle of the soul, which is the heart center, of the monad or emanating center. It's always being that emanates. And, of course, being, as it does so, is always possessed of consciousness, which in the emanation is reduced. We are tiny emanations of the Great One Life, and the intensity of our being and the scope of our consciousness is drastically reduced, until on the path of return it is again widened, deepened, and intensified. The overshadowing triangle is the factor which produces, by its flow into and out of the secondary triangle, the moments in time and the events in space which lead to those episodes in the life of the soul wherein force becomes energy and energy becomes life. This is a powerful old commentary statement. The overshadowing triangle is the factor which produces, by its flow into and out of the secondary triangle, the moments in time and the events in space which lead to those episodes in the life of the soul wherein force becomes energy and energy becomes life. The type of soul here, the soul in incarnation and the soul on its own plane. These moments in time and events in space, these moments and events are the initiations themselves. And in the lower initiations, force becomes energy. And in the higher of the initiations, energy becomes life. Life itself, energies can be differentiated and life is non-differentiable. It cannot, on its own level, be differentiated. It does, being does descend to manifest and becomes qualified in the process, but when we're dealing with life in the non-descended stage, there is no differentiation within it. Such a momentous event or crisis is now taking place in the life of humanity today, a moment in time and an event in space. We will call this the first initiation of humanity. That is what is happening. And there is a definite return, invocation of the soul. And the soul then empowers the invoking personality sufficiently to take its stand at the base of the Antikarana and to contact directly and without the soul intervention, the originating, emanating point, the originating monad. So what you see here, really, this arrow, is a bypassing of the egoic lotus or soul center. It's that direct contact between the mental unit, which is will-infused and soul-infused, yes, and the monastic permanent atom. And they can kind of arrange themselves along this line, monastic permanent atom, buddhic permanent atom, atmic permanent atom, and then the emanating center itself. I think what's important here is to realize that it all started with the monad. The impulse started. The soul body was evoked by the act of the monad and the cooperation of the attendant solar angel. The building of the personality proceeded. It is a qualified personality. It eventually discovers within itself not only its own, the rays of its vehicles, but the ray of the evocative center, which was the source of its qualification. And then it returns, it seeks to return to the higher power. But instead of simply transmitting that attempted return to the higher power, the evocative center re-energizes the personality through soul infusion. And then makes it possible for the illumined soul-infused personality to create sufficient intensity on the plane of mind to invoke gradually the emanating center by first attempting connection with the monastic permanent atom, abstract thinking, then with the Buddhic permanent atom, which is a detached universal love, and then with the Atmic permanent atom, which is something far more than personal will, but a reflection of the will of the planetary logos. And then finally, a return to the monad itself. And somewhere along this line, the quality through which the pure being of the monad is expressing is discovered. And that means the monadic ray is discovered. But the essence, essential energy of anything, does not have or is not characterized by qualified energy. It is suchness, thatness, pure essence, pure being. And only as it works through certain vehicles, even if those vehicles be very high, will we actually have what we can call the monadic ray. More along this line, I may not here dictate. The subject is too vast, abstruse, and complicated. And we get a sense here, an appreciation of what Master DK can understand. However, I have, however, indicated enough to throw some light on this intricate science. The word intricate is interesting. It's oftentimes used by Master DK. It's not used by those on every aspect of the second ray. The intricacy, appreciation of intricacy, is given to the third ray and perhaps its reflection, the fifth ray, reflection and form, and to those who use the second ray energy in its third aspect, because they study consciousness and form together. Now, the fifth ray, as it is today oriented, will study the form in great intricacy. But generally, and maybe for a time, they will not be interested in the deity or the god who actually wears the garment of God. They become fascinated and amazed and see naught else but the garment of God. And they may see with great intricacy, but it is given to the second ray types at the moment to connect consciousness with the intricacy that they discover. So summarizing then what I have said, we have the emanating, evocative, and magnetic energies. Interesting that the word magnetic should be associated here with the third aspect of divinity. It's usually a kind of a second-ray term. And DK has also told us it is associated with the first aspect of divinity. So we have the emanating, evocative, and magnetic energies. They are the three types of energy flowing from the superior triangle. And in a way, the permanent atoms are still within the evocative force, the receptive center, even though they generate that which is outside of it. They are, in a way, within both triangles. We have a receptive, distributing, and critical force. Receptive, distributing, and critical force are the three types of energy distributed by the inferior or reflected triangle. But here we have the fractal idea. Interesting, the use of receptive, of course, is the evocative center. And he tells us pretty much that the distributing center is here. So the personality center must be the critical force. I suppose some decisive factors occur there, making the situation critical. Which way will the orientation be? Will there be actually a return attempt to connect the sources above, which are responsible for creating the personality with its lower vehicle, all infused by a certain type of reflected consciousness? Two points of energy are shared by both triangles along the base line. And this we clearly see. Here are the two shared points. When the work is completed, the baseline is formed by two blended streams of energy which embody the energies of both triangles. So two points of energy are shared by both triangles along the baseline. In the beginning, it is the work of the evocative receptive center to create a personality which can function in the lower three worlds. So this is an incipient force at first, which creates and energizes a magnetic center which can function in the lower worlds, but later a type of energy which flows along it is that from which infuses that which has been created. Now, from another point of view, we could see that this arrow will be dual. It can flow in two directions along the baseline. This is the soul infusion line when it is later in the process, this arrow, but there can be a returning line of rapport to the evocative center. This arrow that I'm pointing to here from the distributing center is an arrow of aspiration, attempting to reach the evocative center, but now the soul infused personality can draw closer and closer in a way. It's almost as if these two points can meet and one line be created. The soul-infused personality increasingly realizes itself to be the evocative center, and the evocative center on the higher mental plane finds that there is no difference between it and its extension, the magnetic center. Remember, they are all... the constituents of these factors are all found upon the higher mental plane. Even the members of the atomic triangle, the mental unit, astral and physical permanent atoms, are all found within the egoic locus. So there is some sort of increasing rapport here between the magnetic center and the evocative force. I think what we have to do is... think about what we know about the process of soul infusion, how it takes place with increasing integration, and how eventually there is causal consciousness. In other words, the being within the personality actually achieves the consciousness of the evocative center, the evocative force. And there's such a total infusion that the soul is present fully within the magnetic center. So I don't, from my perspective, this could be a two-way arrow. At first, as I say, there's simply the stimulation of a magnetic center. Later, there is the attempt at soul infusion. of that which has been built, and then a return, in my view. When one point of energy, the magnetic point, produces involution and outgoing during the process of forming the lower triangle, you know, creating a personality vehicle, what we see here is it moves downward during the process of creating a personality vehicle. And this is involutionary in a way and creates the reflection of the higher triangle. In a later stage, it, as a blend of energies, because these energies have qualified the personality and are returning in a qualified way, and when they are sent forth again, that quality that has been generated in the lower triangle is preserved. In a later stage, as a blend of energies, it induces return of all energies to the emanating source. And let's just put it like this way. This is the function of the soul-infused personality. Whoop, not soul incarnation. Soul-infused personality. At the same time, the students must bear in mind that owing to the great illusion, it may appear to them that the triangles are incomplete during the evolutionary process. At least from our limited consciousness and its perspective. The fact, however, is that in the eternal now, all three sides of the triangles exist, eternally exist, and persist. And so that is the consciousness which in the eternal now perceives the completed purpose and its design, which is not sequential or capable of being divided. The archetype exists, it's a standing wave, and it shows the end and the beginning. Well, it shows the end from the beginning. The beginning and the end are all one thing, and there is not needed a process in time and space to build that which already exists archetypally. Of course, it does occur, but in terms of the archetype, all aspects of that which are to be built sequentially in time and space exist simultaneously. The problem is found only in the consciousness of the subject, but not in reality, and that consciousness is subject to Saturn and to sequentiality. Under Uranus, there is simultaneity and the appreciation of the complete archetype on its own plane. So we are building, in a way, many things which already exist archetypally. In the realm of purpose, they are completed, and in the reflected world, they have to be created. And the limited sequentializing consciousness is that which creates them. Well, an abstruse subject, but at least if we get those energy flows clear, what does it mean to us right now? Long ago, we descended, we evoked as a monad an egoic lotus. That egoic lotus itself took certain atoms, astral and physical, and there was a descent. Gradually, a mental unit was evoked as instinct approximated intellect on the plane of lower mind, that a completed human being who had some degree of soul infusion coming from this process began to return, integrating all of its vehicles in an upward appeal to the evocative center vocative source or force, which again return to the essence of that personality and intensification. And egoic will and egoic presence and egoic love and light came to the magnetic center, and there began to be an interplaying loop here between the two. I think that's the one thing that's not discussed, but I think should be maybe discussed, until a sufficient point of soul infusion and intensity is reached by the magnetic center, whereby it can, via a projected bridge of light built upon a sutratma which already exists, gradually return through the points of the spiritual triad to the emanating source. The points of the spiritual triad basically are permanent atoms which in the second outpouring had been touched by the emanating source and retained as nuclei for the building of vehicles, tribal vehicles, which will be found along this line. And the triadal vehicles, which were probably somewhat latent, are built into full responsiveness as this return occurs. But, you know, to be soul-infused, soul infusion increases with the kind of interplay between the evocative, receptive center with its evocative force and the responsive magnetic center. The inner meditating disciple. I guess I could say that in a way, the magnetic center becomes not just the interior of the personality, but it becomes the disciple as distinct from the personality. And the disciple moves back and forth in this relationship at a certain point with the evocative center and creates ever greater soul infusion. So that whether one is in the personality vehicles or within the soul vehicle, it's all the same. I guess that can be achieved by the third degree. And then, or even before the third degree, the return towards the emanating center. See, two lines are going on at the same time. The increasing soul infusion is occurring in this way. And of course, naturally, the man of the three worlds benefits from that. But while this curriculum on the second ray is occurring, there is a curriculum on the first ray occurring through the projection. These two things happen simultaneously. A kind of return arrow making the bottom line reciprocal, a reciprocal movement, a two-way movement, and an upward or upward-tending arrow connecting with the emanating center. All of us know right now that we are attempting to be soul-infused personalities, and we don't forget our need to relate to the solar angel and to the love aspect of the soul and to consider the egoic lotus a great center, which is stimulating the various centers in our personality. We all know that, and we all do that, and that's curriculum on the second ray. But we have simultaneously a curriculum more on the first ray line, where the third ray center, infused by the second ray, the third ray center is the personality here, reaches upward towards the first ray center, whatever the rays may be. We're talking about aspects now. So the third aspect reaches up towards the first aspect, ever strengthened to do so by the interplay with the evocative center, until there is a final return to the emanating center. Now, that may not occur completely until the sixth initiation, and somewhere along the line of this return, this what had been the center of evocative force may disappear. Perhaps in a way the spiritual triad will take its place. It is a field in which the second aspect and the first aspect blend. I'm not sure what would happen to the triangle when that occurs. I know finally there has to be a complete alignment from the highest to the lowest, in which the monad can be itself at any point along the line. This diamond is a kind of a structural, a process which creates the needed structures and the needed interrelationships. But it may not last forever. It may be, in my view, replaced by a straight line, and then the three become the two, the two ends of the terminus, spirit and matter. But it is matter completely qualified and soul-infused and even spirit-infused. So there is a line here, finally. And maybe that line is finally retracted upward into a point when at the sixth initiation we become purely the monad and do not need to descend into the five lower worlds unless there is a specific point in doing so, particularly along the path of Earth service. Well, Master DK said the matter was abstruse. But I think we need the larger outline and just trying to understand the relationship between monad, soul, and personality, and how the two become the three become the two, and the two eventually become the one as there is the retraction of the Antarkarana, or maybe even of the life thread. Well, the life thread is part of that. Eventually, on the way to the return to the emanating center, the lower triangle may disappear altogether, except by an act of will in which the Maya Varupa is created. So, from this triadally infusing, the triadally infusing point, or infused point, will be generated a lower triangle at will. Matter of fact, we have to wonder what that magnetic center is at all at that point. Does the triangle remain? Is this now a picture, in a way, of the spiritual triad? There is no egoic lotus at a certain point, and yet it becomes possible from the triad to generate this reflected lower triangle and to make it disappear at will, to make it appear and disappear at will, or to perhaps sustain a physical form which is will created through the power of Kriya Shakti. But that would have to follow the disappearance of the receptive center. Unless, as I tried to say earlier, that this receptive center no longer is the egoic lotus and the so-called soul with the cooperation of the solar angel, but is the spiritual triad itself. Because it seems that the emanating center has to work through the some sort of vehicle. It works through a triadal vehicle. And when the triadal vehicle is sufficiently organized, then it is possible from the triadal permanent atoms, not just from the lower atomic triangle, which previously were the core of the magnetic center, it becomes possible then through the spiritual triad and its permanent atoms to generate a replica of the personality, which previously was created through the processes of incarnation. Now the Maya Varupa process becomes the process of incarnating at will, irrespective of birth and death cycles and such things. Well, this is interesting, is it not? And it takes us to the point where we can continue the development of the implications of this triangle. For now, we are reaching the end, Esoteric Astrology, Adventure Number 121A, page. I always go looking for the pages at this point. Maybe I have somehow missed it. 463. And beginning of Esoteric Astrology Adventure 121b, page 463. And let's close this discussion of these abstruse matters with the Great Invocation. Okay. And I'll use the note G here for the Om. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Okay, friends, so that takes us just about to 103, and we will resume shortly.